Hello and welcome to our special Town Hall series, the series where we bring you the biggest newsmakers face to face with a live and young audience brimming and bursting with questions. My guest today on this Town Hall is somebody whom I would say is the star of 2015. Not just because of the cinematic hits she delivered here at home in India, but because she was the only one man or woman from her industry to actually cross over with flamboyance, success, and the entire world talking about her with a hit American TV series. You already know who I'm talking about. Somebody who I like because she writes her own rules. She lives on her own terms. She's not a conformist. She doesn't listen to people. She just does her own thing. And I love that about her. Let's please welcome, with a big round of applause, Priyanka Chopra on our Town Hall today.
I beg to differ. What do you mean I don't listen to people?
Isn't that good?
My mother's going to kill me.
Isn't that good? Isn't that good? You're too old to listen to your mom, right?
No, man. You're never too old to listen to your mother, especially if you have one like mine.
I've met her and she's perfectly wonderful.
Yeah, she's lovely.
She's spunky and that's why you're spunky. You've got that gene, right?
I do. Don't give me credit for it. Give it to my parents.
Happy to give her credit. Happy to give your dad credit. Let me though ask you, has this year gone for you in the way that you would have wanted to? You know, I remember meeting you a few months ago. Quantico was just about to get released. You were still filming for it. And you were anxious. There were some moments of, am I doing the right thing? Am I making the right choice? Am I going to get that damned American twang right? Are they all going to kill me for it back home?
Counter-terrorism task force was killing me.
Do that again.
Counter-terrorism task force. You don't say terrorism, okay? You say terrorism.
You don't say Quantico, you have to say Quantico.
Quantico.
Right.
God, that American accent was killing me. I was very anxious when I met you for multiple levels.
Yeah.
Because, first of all, there's no precedent to this. It was completely on my shoulders. There was only my face everywhere.
Yeah.
So after a point, I started getting very anxious, thinking that, is the world ready for that? You know, I'm not even American Indian. I'm not Mindy Kaling. I'm Indian Indian.
And that's what's the best part. You're not playing a Desi.
A stereotypical Desi
character. You're half Indian in Quantico, but that's not relevant to the story.
My cultural background or my ethnicity has nothing to do with my character. Now it's becoming a really interesting part of Alex. We are finding, like, we have that Om bracelet.
Yeah.
We have a little mandir she takes everywhere because she's sort of religious, but yet, like, not.
Yeah.
You know, not somebody will talk about it because she thinks she's too cool. But we are bringing in a little bit of her Indianness into it because it's making it very multifaceted. The writers are enjoying finding out about India. She goes backpacking in India, Iran and Pakistan. So it's really interesting to see all of that developing, and it's happening because of the casting.
Yeah.
It was written for a non-Indian first.
And you auditioned for it. Now, a number of big, like, you know, you were already a star here.
Yeah.
A number of your colleagues and your friends from the industry may have felt too egotistical. They may say, what the heck? Why should I be auditioning after 50 films? Did you feel a twinge of, like, narcissistic annoyance about having to audition?
Morgan Freeman auditions. Marlon Brando auditioned.
Yeah.
Al Pacino has auditioned.
Yeah.
Who the hell am I? Those are the rules, guys. You know, when in Rome, live like a Roman. The head of casting from ABC, Kelly Lee, had come down to India. I met her at a party. And she started talking to me about doing television. I was very skeptical, first of all, because it's a long commitment.
Mm.
And second of all, I mean, I don't know. I do movies. I don't know how TV works at all.
Yeah.
And a movie you finish in like 4 months. So she came down to India. I was shooting Gunde. She sat the whole day with me and talked to me about a talent holding deal, which was interesting for me.
Mm.
They've done it with Sofia Vergara, they've done it with Kerry Washington, where they sign a talent and then they find something that fits them. So my only thing to her was, look, I have a certain positioning in India.
Mm.
There's a certain way I'm seen. I don't want to outsell myself and do a small part in a big show. I have no interest and I'm not looking for it. I'm not desperate to prove a point in anywhere in the world. I have some of the best movies I'm doing, working with the best talent. The only greed I have is to be able to expand myself as an artist. So bring me a part which has nothing to do with the stereotype of what an Indian girl, especially from Bollywood, what a Bollywood actress would be. I wanted to be taken seriously as an actor. And, you know, credit to them, they gave me 26 scripts. Then, of course, I had to go and read for them, which is such a clinical, it was my first audition. It's the most scary thing in the world. So I talked to myself in the bathroom before I went in. I looked at myself in the mirror. I said, you've done 50 films. What are you scared of?
Yeah.
50 movies. What? So then I talked to myself, I got myself like all geared up, and I walked into the room and I read the lines, I did my audition, walked out, got the part. I had ammunition from one of the most prolific film industries in the world. There's nothing I can't do on Quantico. There's nothing I can't do because my training has been so fabulous. Yes.
Yet it must have been a big life change, right? You get up, you pack your bags, you go and live in another country in Canada by yourself, your mom and, you know, and family visits.
She comes every 2 months.
Okay, every 2 months is not so bad. But has it been liberating? Has it been lonely? Which, has it been a combination of both to be completely transported to an alien environment where you're probably getting mobbed all over again now because Quantico posters are everywhere. But there must have been that phase in the build-up. Were there some moments of quiet solitude? Were there some moments of just being able to walk into a store and have a cup of coffee like a regular person?
I've not known that since I was 17.
What does that do to somebody's sense of normal?
That is my sense of normal. That's normal to me. It's normal to me that when I walk out, people know me. That's just how it's always been.
And is that always great? Or is that sometimes claustrophobic?
I think it is it's the price you pay for what I do. And nobody wants to shoot me. People just want to see me, smile a little, laugh a little, you know, take an autograph, take a picture. And it's fine. I think people are very hypocritical when you turn around and say, I want to be in show business, but I don't want anyone recognizing me. I mean, do theatre. If you don't want to be recognized, don't do movies. You're going to be on 70mm. I'm doing a show which has been dubbed in 44 languages and gone to 120 territories.
Yeah.
I am going to be recognized. I guess it's a professional hazard, if you call it. I don't see it as a hazard.
So what's been the scariest bit of the last year?
What was scary was, oh my God, are people, am I going to come back home with my tail tucked in between my legs?
Yeah.
I was most scared of that. I went there as sort of a representation of Indian cinema. You know, I had to prove that Indian actors are not just what you believe Indian actors are, which America does, unfortunately, that, you know, we dance around trees, and we left that decades ago. Indian cinema has a voice today. We are a celebration of stories, and there are and we do it through music. That's our culture. It's so fascinating for me to introduce people to that.
Have you faced any kind of stereotyping from your audience, from what people write on Twitter? You know, you mentioned this bit where during the NFL, somebody's actually called you an Arab terrorist, yeah, or something like that. What was that about?
This is an American sport. Why is an Arab terrorist on the show? Because my song was headlining Thursday Night Football for 2 years in a row. And Faith Hill did it before me, who's like all-American country singer, you know. And so they were like, who's this Arab terrorist and all? But racism exists everywhere in the world, Barkha. You can't focus on only that.
Yeah.
I have been welcomed so much and so well in a country. I'm only,
and
like,
Donald Trump hasn't built a wall to keep you out.
Right. I actually want him to try.
Yeah, really? My God.
I really do. It'll be fun to kind of break the walls down.
I think you might figure in the next Republican debate. All right, let's start taking... I have lots of questions for you, but I'm going to allow the audience to actually get into it straight away. Anmol Dixit.
Speaking of Hollywood, we have movies written for actresses like Meryl Streep, for example. So do you think actresses in India are limited after a certain age? Are limited with playing only supporting roles rather than leading roles?
Fashion was written for me. Barfi was written for me. Jai Ganga Jal was written for me, which is releasing next March. I'm fortunate that I've had filmmakers who've written parts for me and come to me and said that only you can do it.
Yes.
And I think that, yes, there is a stereotype. I will definitely agree with that, which people also keep questioning me, that an actress in her 30s, you know, it should be over and done by now. But you see the actresses that are working today, and why should that happen? If I can deliver a performance, or if I can deliver entertainment to you, watch me. What does my age have to do with anything?
But isn't there hypocrisy? Because if you see Salman, Amir and Shah Rukh, they're like dancing sometimes with women half their ages, even at 50. And I would really like to see a 50-year-old woman in a lead in the kind that is written for men. And isn't that getting, you know, you guys have started to speak up, but isn't there a disparity, Priyanka, in the industry here? Will we have that kind of space that a Meryl Streep has or a Jennifer Lawrence has?
I think this is a bigger question, Barkha, because that is a disparity that exists in society.
Agreed.
And films are a reflection of it. Today,
okay,
film female actors are getting opportunities to have their faces on posters, and people are going to watch those films.
Yes, agreed.
Whether it is someone who's me, who's 33 today, or whether it is someone who's Kajol or Aishwarya or Kareena or Katrina or Deepika or Vidya or Kangana. I can name so many actresses who are taking forward the fact that age no bar, and the fact that we can carry shoulders because stories are good. because we are getting content today.
But isn't it still deeply unequal?
Remunerations are hugely unequal. We work just as hard, but it's going to take time. You can't expect, especially in a country like India, where it has been ingrown in our brains for eons, how dispensable a girl child is.
So you wrote once about your parents, both of whom were with the military.
Yes.
And doctors.
Yes.
And them taking you actually into rural India.
Yes.
And you're being horrified as a child to see how girls were treated, how families did not want to actually give medical attention to their daughters.
Yeah.
How did that experience shape you? Talk a little bit about that.
I was about 9 or 10. Philanthropic work was very important to both my parents. They had their own hospital by then. So we used to take an ambulance, one nurse, a pharmacist with like medicines and whatever was required, and drive into the villages in UP and treat people who wouldn't, like women were not allowed to come into hospitals to deliver, to, you know, midwives would deliver them there, just because ghar se bahar nahi nikalna chahiye ladki ko. So my parents would go, and I used to be the one who used to count the pill and put it in, you know, in envelopes and give it to the patients, and I took my job very seriously. But I have seen parents saying, what is the point of giving medical treatment to a daughter when she's not an asset, she's not going to earn, she's not going to bring in money, and wo to paraya dhan hai. It blew my mind how a woman herself can say, agar beti aayi hai to maar do. It, like, almost as blatantly as that.
Mm.
And that is the circumstances in which we live, and it horrified me. And I think that was one of the big reasons I take up a lot of causes which involve the education of the girl child and the education of parents today.
So now fast forward to the industry you're in. I look at the male stars and I look at the kind of roles they get, and I look at the fact that at 50 we're still sort of celebrating their virility and their sexuality. Do you think that could happen to you at 50 in this industry?
I don't know yet, but it's definitely happening in my 30s. Abhi tak wo bhi nahi hota tha. At least wo to ho raha hai. So I'll tell
but
you.
But you're unusual.
Well, I hope
to be in your 30s
unusual.
And still get the roles you do is unusual for this industry.
Yeah, I've worked with 5 generations of actors. I started with Anil Kapoor and Sunny Deol, and I'm working with Arjun and Ranveer. And it's only because the mindset of people has opened up today, and people want to watch talent. They want to watch actors, and maybe I also, you know, look pretty decent, so
that
I'm easy on the eyes.
I think they're wanting to clap, so go ahead and clap for that one.
All right, let's take the next question.
But just, I just want to add to that. I do not think we should take away from the fact that at the age of 50,
these actors can bring in the kind of economics that they do. Don't take away from that because we want to make sure that women also get a part. That is also great in its own way. That those actors kind of...
But there's a social hypocrisy about
but that's
it, right?
That's a different debate. But I'm saying you have to give credit to the fact that...
It doesn't annoy you at times?
What annoys me is the fact that producers tell me females are interchangeable and boys are not. I was thrown out of a lot of films because I was said that if you can't accommodate dates, we'll just launch a new girl. And now, those producers themselves tell me that I'm not interchangeable. But that's because I've proved that point.
And men would not be treated that way.
Men would not be treated that way, and they probably aren't. But now, in a lot of my films, men are interchangeable when I'm on the poster. And I think that's a big win.
Ooh, that's a big one.
It is a big win.
Who's an interchangeable male actor? I'm going to get you fully into trouble in this show.
No, I'm not getting into trouble. You get everyone into trouble on your show.
That is my speciality. All right, next question, Rahul.
Okay, my question is that I remember when Quantico was about to release, you said in one of the interviews that the character which you play is beautiful, is sassy, and is not, you know, having any inhibitions about sleeping around with people. So, and you said this is the character is an epitome of empowerment. So my question is, one, that do you think this is empowerment for women? Adding to that, second, that do you think such a character would be accepted in India?
That's the one that I want to elaborate on. But go
whether
ahead.
Whether should be expected.
No, whether you could have played this person. You know, you enjoy a drink. You have sex on your own terms. You know, you're not conformist at all. And I'm still waiting for that, for a mainstream character in Hindi cinema who is that. But go ahead and respond to his question.
I think empowerment is independence, and that is a individual choice. Alex's choice is that's how she wants to be, and that is empowerment. My choice is I don't want to be like that. That is also empowerment. Women are not empowered to make their choices. And why I said Alex is an empowered character is because she lives life on her own terms. And that is what feminism actually stands for.
I was so happy to actually hear you say that you're a proud feminist, because most people get so defensive about the word these days. And
because the
I always say it just means freedom. What does feminism
unfortunately
mean? It means freedom.
Unfortunately, feminism has been tagged with man bashing and, you know, man berating and man hating, which it's not. You don't have to be a bra burning, I hate men kind of person to be a feminist. A feminist is just a person who's saying, give me my right according to my merit and don't see me as a woman or a man. Give me a job because I'm good at it.
But this character that you play, could you have played it in India?
I mean, fashion was a little bit like that. But would it have
the mainstream acceptability that an Alex Parrish does?
I think so. We do a lot of various kinds of films, if you see Hindi films. Yes, we get berated all the time about, especially main lead actors, about the kind of characters we play on moral grounds, on religious grounds, on social grounds, all of it. But I think filmmaking is storytelling, and it's a director's point of view, how to tell a story. And I will always fight for the right of an artist or a creative person. If you're an author, you should be able to write the book that you want. If I'm a filmmaker, I should be able to make the film that we want. That is why we have a sense
of. But that opening scene of having sex in a car with a stranger you've just met on a plane, I just can't imagine the lightness and this almost irrelevance with which it's treated in Quantico in an Indian TV series or an Indian
film. Maybe not. I mean, that's such a hypothetical question that I don't know if... Quantico is one of the leading shows in India, by the way. It's one of
the most always a hypocrisy,
successful
right?
shows
of course.
In India amongst the English shows. So, is that a yes to your answer?
What do you guys think?
I
mean, raise your hand if you
think
that now, you know, now in India too, you could see a scene like this without anybody fluttering their eyelashes.
You do?
Let's get a mic here. Yeah.
I'll explain the thing about that scene also. First of all, it's ABC Disney, which is one of the big reasons that I did a show with them. There is only a certain amount of sexuality that they can show, and it is always just alluded to. If you watch the show, if you watch that scene actually,
I know the story, but
it's post...
Produced.
Coital.
Yeah.
It is. It's a conversation.
Yeah.
After what's happened. There is not even a kiss in that scene, technically. It's just a... That's it. But it's the ideology of what she stands
for. But that's
for.
What I'm saying. No, and I'm saying that's empowering because you're making
correct.
Your own choice.
Correct.
But you want to ask something about that?
Yeah. I would add to that that why Indian audience is actually liking it. Probably because there is Priyanka Chopra who is representing India in one sense. And another way is that, as she rightly put it, there is a hypocrisy in the Indian audience that they want to see things, but until and unless it is Indianized, they don't want to see it.
No, like a lot of it happened to me. A lot of the journalists said that, you know, there is all of these scenes. And I asked them, have you seen Hindi films? Is it a problem that he's a white guy? Is that the issue? And one of the journalists said yes.
Why is that a problem?
I don't know, but that was apparently a problem.
I don't think it's a problem at all. I think the point
I don't
is
think so,
that it is a leap for, you know, you're not, the conventional social morality isn't being foisted on you in your character.
Because she's
nor
American.
Are you this wild girl who's doing this. You know, here, if you were like, if you were doing this in a movie here, you would be somebody living on the wild side. But there, it's just a matter of fact.
But it's also cultural, Barkha. We can't expect India to suddenly get up and say, ki hamara culture hi alag hai. We've been brought up like this. We've been brought up with having aankhon ki sharam. We've been brought up with, you know, respecting our parents. And yes, sometimes it becomes a moral issue. But at the same time, it is also who we are. And we are sort of finding our ground.
Meghna?
Priyanka, you've always been very vocal about the remuneration gap in Bollywood, how females are not remunerated very well. Even Jennifer Lawrence in US said the same thing. So do you see this thing changing anytime soon now that people are talking about it?
People have been talking about it for years.
What's the gap like? Percentage-wise? Percentage-wise?
Okay, if boys are like 100%, girls would be about 12, 13.
Really?
That's how much the disparity is. And it's massive. But I think it'll take a little time. And it's a global problem. Huh? It's not an Indian problem. It's not like it only happens in India. It only happens in the film industry. And I think it is, again, a fight for feminism. Again, a fight for their rights. Which will take a little bit of time. If my film tomorrow does 300 crores like it does with the boys, I'll be able to maybe say that, you know, give me that kind of a remuneration. But I can't expect that business-wise. I can't expect that from a producer until I deliver it. You know what I mean? So it's
so
like
you're
a catch-20
disparity. You're actually saying the disparity makes economic sense?
For producers. If a producer pays me, say, 30 crores to make a film, and my film is going to end up doing about 70 or 100 crores also, which has only happened
once. You're doing cinema in a sexist society. You can't be paying the price for that, literally.
But you do. I think Tanu Manu was the first 100 crore female-led,
Manu, yeah.
TV, female-led film. And that's the only one till now that has reached that number.
And so why are you all able to consolidate your voice against the sexism in your industry?
Because then I'll have to ask everybody, please go watch my films and make it a 300 crore hit so that I can, for woman power, turn around and say, bhai, now you have to give me my remuneration. But until that happens, the reality of the situation is it's not going to change.
But does that apply to you in Quantico as well? I mean, that there you're the lead. So you couldn't be getting paid less than the men.
No, there it doesn't apply.
Thank God.
Not yet.
Alright, let's take another question. Akanksha?
The notion about the beauty is changing nowadays. And you have been both bullied in your school for your complexion as well as celebrated when you won Miss World. And now you are playing a South Asian woman character in Quantico, as well as you are promoting a fairness cream as well.
No, I'm not. So,
Ghania, white complexion.
No, I'm not.
Okay.
Would you ever?
I did.
In the past,
I
you did?
I think it was Ponds, but it wasn't. Ghania wasn't a fairness cream. Ghania was like glowing skin, take care of your whatever spots and all of that. Hmm. But Ponds I did 1 year. It was a campaign with Seth.
What do you feel about fairness products?
I felt really bad about it. That's why I stopped doing it.
Yeah.
Because I am dusky. And I went through a phase in my school. I remember I used to buy fairness products.
Yeah.
This is when I was in India. It wasn't very clean. I used to put powder in it. And I used to try and do whatever I can because I was dusky. And I was called Kali by my family, you know, just for fun. Everybody else and all my cousins are all Gora Chitta. I was the one who turned out dusky because my dad's dusky.
Yeah.
And just for fun, my Punjabi family would call me Kali, Kali,
Kali, Kali.
Yeah, till I was a baby, it didn't strike me. But
they would actually just do that again?
Yeah, just fun.
Just do that again?
Kali, Kali. But it didn't,
yeah.
It was with so much love that I didn't understand that it affected me when I was an adolescent.
Yeah.
But it did. At 13, I wanted to put like fairness creams and I wanted my complexion to change. But then I got into films and I didn't understand it. And I did do a fairness, I endorsed it for about a year. And then I felt like, I look pretty alright. I don't want to do this. And then I didn't do it. But I was also finding my ground. I must have been like 21, 22 that time.
So you wouldn't do one today, no matter how much money they throw
at you? I've been offered many times. But
and
I
would say no today?
Yeah,
good for you. Let's have a round of applause. We approve of that.
Thank you.
But talk a little bit also about, because she wove that in but didn't actually complete that, about your growing up as a teen in the United States of America. And you go and live at a time, and this must be really satisfying to you, that today your posters are up on the subway stops in New York and everywhere on the buses, on the back of buses. And yet there was this time when you dealt with racism and snideness in your school in the United States. How was that? Talk a little bit about that.
First of all, I think racism exists everywhere.
Yeah,
not
sure.
Only in America, but it exists here.
No,
also.
We are
always separating Hindu, Muslim, Sikh, Isai, go away.
Yeah.
What is happening in this world only, first of all? So when it happened to me in America, I was 15.
Yeah.
And it broke me a lot. But I think it was a personal thing that girl had against me for some reason. She used to call me brownie. She used to say, go back to your country.
She was an early Donald Trump, yeah.
she was just evil, I think. You know,
yeah.
Mean girls, have you all seen them?
That's why I said early Donald Trump.
Yeah. So mean girls exist in all our schools. So she was one of those. But it broke me, and that was the reason why I came back to India, because I said, you know, I can't do this. I want to go back home. I want to go to people that look like me, and I don't want to be called a brownie, and I don't want to say I smell of curry, and I don't know what all they used to say to me. But it was an individual thing, and high school is hard for everybody. When you're in school and you're 14, 13 to 16, for girls especially, is the hardest time because you don't know who you're going to be. You don't know how you should talk to the boy you like. You don't know if you'll be judged for what you're wearing. Peer pressure is so much. It's a hard time. So I don't blame an entire country for it. I cannot. And I'm not someone who generalizes. I definitely blame Janine.
Hmm.
By the way, that's her name.
Hmm.
Somebody find her on Facebook.
Yeah.
And then I'll tell her, watch me now. she was just a mean girl. And you know what? I forgive it. She made me stronger. And today I've gone into another country and America's accepted me with open arms, whether it's their media, whether it is the... I just got my first nomination for Quantico as Best Actress in a TV drama, which is People's Choice.
Yeah.
And you know, that's the country speaking.
And have you really been flying back weekends to shoot here?
That's how I shot Bajirao Mastani, yeah.
So
I used to fly down for 2 days. because they have weekends off. So they used to give me sometimes Friday, sometimes Monday. And I used to fly down, shoot two scenes, go back, shoot again, then fly down next weekend. I had to finish Bajirao.
So 16 hours a day and a lot of coffee.
Yeah, and sleeping on your flights.
And sleeping on your
very
flights.
Oh, very important.
Alright, next question.
My question to you is that people have often commented that you've acquired a fake accent in Quantico. What is your take on it in general?
I have a fake accent in Bajirao Mastani. I've had a fake accent, which was Maharashtrian, in Kamine. I had a fake accent in as Kali in Agnipath, because I play a Maharashtrian and I don't speak like that. And yes, I have a fake accent in Quantico, because that's not my accent, but I'm playing an American girl, so I had to learn it. So I'm playing different parts from different parts of the world, so I have to develop a dialect for that. And my American accent is definitely fake, because that's not how I speak, but it is for my role.
Just it's authentic
like,
to the character.
It is authentic to the character, just like in Bajirao Mastani, Kashi and Ranveer's character, which is Bajirao, have. So that's also fake, but it's for the role. We are actors.
But was it tough? Were you worried about how it would be received? Never not being American enough for the Americans, not being Indian enough
for
the
Indians?
But
that is how it is. Indians always ask me this question. Oh, you have a fake American accent. Americans always say she sounds too Indian. Na ghar ki, na ghat ki. But that's how the characters...
Have you been trolled for it on Twitter?
Yeah, a lot. Yeah. But that's how what I say. I'm an actor and I'm playing a girl who spent 10 years in India. So that is why I have an Indian lilt in the show. And she's born and brought up in America. That's why she has an American lilt. So she's a global accent.
So which were the words that were really tough to do right?
All the R's and the L's.
So give
and
an example.
And the O's.
Example?
Like, we say job, but they say job. What's your job? And I'm like, man, it's a O, yeah. that was really hard for me. And the R's. Because we pronounce our R's.
Yes.
But they pronounce it.
Yeah, they roll them. All right, Saloni.
Priyanka, you have always been one who speaks her own mind. How difficult it was for you to portray Kashi Bai, the character who's always been so submissive in life?
I love this question because it was very difficult.
Bajirao Mastani, for those who haven't seen it, Kashi is married to Bajirao, who actually takes a lover, who becomes his second wife. And you have to kind of do this whole...
And she has to live with it.
She has to live with it.
She has to lump it. It was very difficult.
Isn't it? Yeah. But the character, obviously for her time, she had no choice.
It was the 1700s. At that time, women didn't have a voice.
Yeah.
Women did. And despite of that, she does. Kashi in the film, when you watch it. She still stands up for her own dignity and her own self-respect, as it should be. But as a modern 21st century girl, if my husband fell in love with someone, I'd be like, peace, I'm out. Bye. Because I don't believe it's right to hold on to someone whose heart is somewhere else.
Yeah.
What for what? Because society ne bandish bana ke rakhi hai. Why live in unhappy? I don't believe that. But that's not the role I'm playing. So my feelings were as fake as my
accent.
As my accent. But that's true to the character that I was playing. And I've got so much love and appreciation for Kashi. Because there's a certain dignity to what she did. In the 1700s, which is 500 years ago, where women weren't allowed, they used to sit in a janana to look at their men. They weren't even allowed to come out of the courtyard. At that time, she stood up for herself. And she said, you know what? You love her, it's fine.
And the really interesting thing to me was you did not punish the other woman.
Yeah.
You were nice to her because it was not her fault. Which
it is my husband is the one who's fallen in love with you. How can I punish the other woman? She's there because he's given her the right.
You found her regressive?
I did. But I loved the scene where she stood up for herself.
Yeah.
I was like, ye hui na baat, ab main batati hu. Aise hota hai. But initially, I was like, come on, man. You can't just keep loving the guy who's loving someone else. Stop loving him. I felt very bad for Kashi. And that's one of the big reasons I wanted to be a part of the film and tell her story. Because it happens to a lot of women, even today, where they have to just sit down and say, you know what? This is all the life I have. This is all the life I should have. But it's not true. Women need, you know, you need to have your own feet. And if you do believe that you should still love your husband, that is also fine. I'm not even judging that.
But it has to be agency of choice.
Yeah, it has to be your choice.
Okay, Lavish.
First of all, you are very tall. I mean,
I wear really high heels.
Okay, moving on to my question. There's been a UN study published in September 2015, which says that, focuses on the portrayal of women across global cinema. And specific to India, it says that the role of women get here are highly sexualized and they get somewhat less constructive and less meaningful roles. Now, since you are a proponent of women rights, do you feel this impacts our society?
And I've had this conversation with you once before, actually, after the December 16th gang rape. You and Shabana were on one of my programs, and Shabana was saying, you know, this hypersexualization of women, the item numbers, this is a problem, and this impacts how society sees women. And I remember at that time you said, no, I'm fine with it. It's agency, it's choice. So we're back to choice. And there is a suggestion that we've kind of moved from, some people would say, okay, we've moved from that Sati Savitri image to that hypersexualized, you know, camera traveling over your navel and, you know, little clothes, which is still the male gaze. And you have disagreed with that.
Have you seen music videos in the West?
Yes.
It's the same thing.
It is.
And I truly believe, like filmmakers, again, I'm coming back to pro-choice, filmmakers have the choice to make whatever they want. We have a censor board which tells you, this is how many, this is the age limit that you should watch it, 18 plus, under 18, yeah, under G.
We have a censor board that is a
which
bit crazy.
Cuts some things and doesn't cut anything.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we do, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But that many people are watching it. People have a choice to not watch it. Don't go to the theater and watch it if you're offended by it. Look at the sex comedies that come out in this country and how much money they make. Why are people watching it? Now this is hypocritical, according to me.
But you know, the little girls, somebody said, I think Shabana only, that the little girls singing these hypersexualized
and they don't know what it means.
And they don't know what it means.
That's true.
And therefore, would you ever hesitate to do a certain kind of role because you think that it was not just regressive in the conventional sense as Kashi is in Bajirao Mastani, but
that's a period drama.
Yeah, that's a period drama. It doesn't apply.
Yeah.
But that, like, you know, this is just a man's gaze through a camera.
I do. I take my choice as an actor. There are films where I have played, you know, sexually liberated characters like Aitraz, which was like from eons ago, I don't even remember. But she was an extremely sexual liberated character, and I was like 20 when I did it. I didn't even understand what I was doing at that point. But I think, again, there are many times songs have come to me which have been a little too objectifying for my choice. They're not about... See, we come from the land of Kama Sutra. Okay, we come from Ajanta and Allura. Beauty and appreciation of a woman has been in our culture
but
for
some
eons.
Of the lyrics,
I agree.
You know,
what
was that Kareena song in Dabang? I don't even remember. But some murg, what was it? Somebody
chicken
tandoori murgi hu main ya
something.
Tandoori murgi hu main yaar. See, I don't know these lyrics.
But see, again,
that kale mujhe alcohol se. My director is telling me.
Oh, nice.
The lyrics, she knows them by heart clearly.
She has danced on it at a wedding. 100%. See, that's what happens.
No,
see,
but these lyrics. See, I can't even remember them.
See,
but
I
like when you take them out of a song,
I do
they
agree.
Just sound gross.
They are gross. Some of them are gross, some of them are not. But again, it's you have to be in a democracy. We are making it. Don't play it. It's such a catch 22, Barkha. How do I turn around?
What's your Lakshman Rekha?
My Lakshman Rekha is if it offends me, I won't do it.
What would offend you?
There was an item song that came to me which talked about various parts of women's bodies and, you know, compared them to different kinds of flowers and foods. And so I found that offensive. I didn't do it. So I was like, sorry, I don't want to do it. But if I have to play a bold character who has an independent opinion, then I will do it. You know, it's actually, it has to be subject by subject. It
so what's the Sunny Leone for you?
First of all, I love that girl. She has guts. And, you know, she's a really sweet, sweet girl. And she's independent.
Yeah.
She has the choice to do what she wants. Guys, she is the most searched celebrity in India. What are you asking me? Ask India.
Yeah.
I love that girl. She's damn sweet and she has a great voice and she's super fun.
All right, fair point. Sri Lekha.
So my question to you is, do you think twice before speaking? Because recently...
I should.
Because recently SRK had made a comment which really affected Dilwale collections.
Yeah.
So are you scared while you make a comment on the prevailing issues in the country?
Yes.
You would think twice.
Yes.
And you would be scared.
Yes.
And yet, on the 17th of December, you wrote on your Twitter account... that you could not be silent any longer because you were tired, if I remember this correctly,
that's what
of
I think
actors
I think before I talk.
Of actors being hang on, actors being political pawns.
Yeah.
And it was a long post about how just before the release of a movie, movies are held to ransom.
Yeah.
And I loved the last line which said you were sick and tired of character assassination of actors for their opinions. And you're now saying
I would be scared. I was scared even when I wrote that. See the second last line. I know I will get into trouble for saying this, but this is not what the India I grew up in taught me.
Exactly.
Exactly.
This is not the India I grew up in.
It is not. I was taught Hindu, Muslim, Sikh, Isai, bhai bhai every day on my assembly. And now what is happening? Based on religion, we are dividing people. I'm sorry, I do not believe films, people think films are made like this, you guys. It is, you know, I've seen producers, their houses being sold, their children being pulled out of school because films haven't done well. I've seen families go bankrupt because films haven't done well. How much heart, soul, blood goes, don't hold a film ransom before it's released, yeah. Talk about it, nah. Talk about it after, talk about it before. Why? Because it's a vulnerable soft target. And that's not fair. And I'm sorry nobody talks about it. And again, I might get into trouble for saying it. But I will stand by actors and I will stand by artists in general and turn around and say, if you are talking about a democracy and if you are talking about the fact that we live in a democracy, if you can have an opinion, let me also have one, nah. If India can talk about it and tweet and troll me and call, you know, say things, say leave the country or whatever, for whatever reason, then why can't I have an opinion? Why do I have to always be diplomatically correct? Why do I always, because just because I'm a public person and just because I can be persecuted for saying something? That's not fair, that's not right, and nobody talks about what is right, and I just wanted to stand up and say, you know what, dude, this is not right.
What made you write it? At a time when...
Just Bajirao was releasing, Dilwale was releasing. There was so much going on about, you know, bans and...
Boycotts.
And boycotts based on religion. I don't understand that in India.
Or opinion. Not religion so much even as opinion.
Religion and opinion. That is not the country I... That is not how my parents raised me. My parents raised me to be someone who, if you think something, say something. And... It's really sad that my art or people who have 300 people or 500 people who have worked to create that suffer because of it. It's just not fair.
And yet you're saying today you would think 10 times before expressing a bad
opinion.
Yeah,
my team tells me 20 times before I was coming on your show only that please be careful. Your team also told me. Sambhal ke baat karna.
Kya dar lagta hai? What do you think might happen?
I'll be told to leave the country. I'll be told to apologize. Publicly, I'll be called anti-national, I'll be called women shouldn't speak like this, the men will stand up and say apni apna apne apne daire mein rehna chahiye. So many things can happen.
And yet you are speaking.
Yeah, because that's unfortunately my disease. I'm a vocal girl. I need to tell my fight with my father about that. He should have taught me not to stay quiet.
The tattoo on your hand,
yeah,
is about your dad, right?
Yeah, it's my dad's handwriting, actually.
Daddy's little girl, is that what it is?
Little girl. It was 2 years before, 1 year before he died. He was very unwell. And I don't know how it happened. I was working on my album in Ibiza. And me and my friends decided, let's get tattoos together. And my dad was very unwell and I didn't know how to help. You know, when you have a sick parent, I did whatever I could, took him to the best hospitals, doctors around the world. But there's a certain point where it becomes so helpless that you can't fix him, you know. And I'm a fixer. I fix things in my family. I fix things in my job. And I couldn't fix my dad. And, you know, your father is your superhero. Fathers are invincible. Just seeing him so frail, and it broke my heart. So I lied to him. Can you please send me your handwriting for my album cover? Because he would never agree on a tattoo. Mm-hmm. So I lied to him and his hands used to shake. But he practiced it for, like, my mother was there. She practiced it for about 1 hour till he got it right. And then he sent it to me. I scanned it, traced it and got it tattooed. Of course, when I came back, he had tears in his eyes and got very emotional. Then he yelled at me for getting a tattoo. But it was conflicted.
But, you know, the India you talk about growing up in, you're also from a Forgy background, right? And the Forge is the most secular institution of this country. So I'm sure that shaped you immensely.
Maybe. My father was a major believer in the Forge, in bringing people together. He was someone who was the life of a party in the mess. And it didn't matter if you were a Jawan, it didn't matter if you were a senior officer, it didn't matter if you were a general. It was just happy times. Maybe that raised me to be someone who believes in equality amongst everyone and not be classist and not be elitist. And maybe it was the fact that I was raised in the army where people of all kinds came together for one cause, which was India. And I think somewhere we forget that sometimes.
Yeah. Were you anxious before Baji Rao? Because it is in the end, having seen the film, also about love crossing these barriers, right? It is about, it's the best answer to the so-called love jihad. It is about being able to love across barriers. And the Shiv Sena was making noises. Shah Rukh was having to deal with his comments made in part to me on tolerance. Yeah, look at me. But he said what he thought. Right, he said what he thought. What made you actually stand out at a time when there were actually Twitter trends asking for boycotts of movies
because
to take
no
that
one
position?
Was talking about what was right. And I have an opinion. And I think that my film was releasing. Hmm. It is based on a book called Rao.
Yeah.
Why weren't people talking about that book when it was released? Why wasn't that an issue? Why wasn't that book banned? It came out, no? It released, yeah. It's been circulating, people have read it. And that's exactly what the film is based on. But just because it's a film, and just because it has stars in it, and it gets headlines, why should that be stopped? Stop the book, no? My point was that. Why didn't you stop the book? Nobody said anything. Because it wouldn't get you a headline. So don't sensationalize an issue by making it political. When it may be a big issue. Of course, everything everyone is saying is an issue. But it's the wrong time to talk about it. You didn't talk about it when it was someone who you didn't know about, someone who wasn't a celebrity, who had written a book.
So that's what you mean by actors becoming political
yes,
pawns.
I do think.
You think actors are easy targets.
I do think we are very vulnerable because you take the name of an actor and turn around and say anything. Tomorrow he'll turn around and say, Priyanka Chopra is too vocal and she should be gagged. I promise you, there'll be at least 5 publications that'll carry it. Because he said that.
Yeah.
But you are a soft target when you're a public person. And yeah, we pay the price for it also. Of course you pay the price for it. It's a professional hazard.
Is that why you're so hesitant to speak? I mean, yeah. You're an exception. Shah Rukh's an exception. There are other exceptions. But in general, is that why most people don't speak?
Maybe. People don't want to get into trouble. People want to say, ki bhaiya, jeene do, kaam banane do. More than... Somebody had said this once, I can't remember. I think it was Martin Scorsese, and he said that instead of fighting the world, I want to make films. That's more important to me. I'm an artist. Please let me just be one. Maybe that's what it's come down to.
Okay, last 2 questions. Madhav?
My question is on homosexuality, precisely because you were a part of Dostana, the movie. There's a lot of fight that is pro-LGBT. People are actually waging wars for the rights of the LGBT community. On the other hand, United States as a country which is not as conservative as India, but it still took so long for United States to come up with the legislation that legalizes gay rights.
And gay marriage, the Supreme Court has legalized gay marriage.
But still in India, we are. It seems like a far-fetched dream. What my question is that when in the film Dostana, or like, let's say in movies like Dostana or any sort of flicks, where the gay couple or gay person is actually depicted or portrayed in a fun character and not really a normal
a regular person,
a usual next door boy. So when we are still stuck in a mindset that we have to, if we have to, you know, depict this character, it has to be a fun character like an effeminate Kamalash Kautam.
The stereotype.
We are still stereotyping. Yeah. So where do we stand as a filmmaker, as a film producer, or as an actor? What's our stand regarding this?
Okay. See, Dostana was a comedy film first and foremost, and those guys were fake gays. Mm. They were not really gay. So if you talk about the film, it was not a legitimate point of view of what the LGBT community is, first of all. It was a comedy movie, and it should be seen as that. Secondly, coming back to the point, yes, I do not think there should be stereotypes, but films are not examples of society. Films are fiction. Filmmakers, again, I will come back to choice, filmmakers need to be given the choice to be able to make what they want. It is up to us to watch it or not.
Hmm. I'm not against it, but what I think is that maybe as film producers, we are somehow afraid that if we depict a character as a normal person, then maybe it's not going to sell in the ticket counters.
I disagree with you. A lot of films have been made, I can't come up with names right now, where you have seen people, you know, gay, lesbian, which have come out in movies, which have, I can't remember right now, I wish I could remember a few names.
Huh? Bombay Talkies.
Bombay Talkies.
Yeah.
Water, no.
What are the examples?
Fire.
Think, Rahul, just stand up and give the
Margarita
examples.
Margarita with a straw happened.
Bombay Talkies, and another is Onis I Am.
Correct. I am
Pony
as well.
Is which I
is
am.
Such a beautiful, beautiful film, I remember. Thank you, guys.
Yeah.
But that's the argument I was making. I don't think filmmakers are scared, but I do think that's a bigger argument completely. India is a conservative society, and it's a fight. And it's a long fight. And we need to be ready for
it. But are you guys willing to lend your voice to at least
I always
the fight
have.
Of
I'm
the gay and lesbian
for
community?
Gay rights. I've always been for gay rights. I have a voice on everything. So, you ask me for an opinion, you'll get one. I've always been pro-gay rights. I'm pro-rights. I'm pro-humanity. I'm pro-choice. I'm pro-democracy. And
good
I think
you.
That's the country that we should live in.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you.
So let me ask you in the end, since you said ask me and I'll have an opinion, what's your opinion on this censor board? You kind of alluded to it, but before we end.
Actually, I haven't had so much trouble with the censor board yet personally, so I don't have much of an opinion on it because I'm not a producer and I haven't, you know, gotten into, it's not happened to my films personally
as much. But they censor Daniel Craig, like how can anyone do that, right?
Please, they censor everything.
Yeah.
But that is because it's such, like I said, you know, guys, give a little bit of leeway because India is a very difficult country to put a blanket on, you know. There are so many different kinds of people with so many different kinds of opinions, so many different religions. So give a little bit of deal also. I'm pragmatic and practical. So I try and understand, I put myself in people's shoes and I try and understand why someone would do what they would do. I'm all for peace, I'm not for war. So I try and understand. I believe that there is no right or wrong. There's always a perspective. And there must be, na? The censor board also must be getting pressure from somewhere saying, ye dikha denge to ye hoga to aapka ghar jala denge, ye hoga to hama FRG jala denge. Matlab,
yeah, but some of the censorship just thoughtless.
But I agree with that also.
TV or films?
Look, I watch my TV on big screen, so I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying.
I know.
How has it been a different experience?
It's completely different. It is a complete day and night different. Films are so much more languid. We shoot
You call TV a beast, Sabi.
It's a beast. Nine scenes in one day, 16-hour days, one episode in 9 days. You don't have time to breathe. By the time I go to bed...
Try my job.
I'm telling you, television is like your job. You are in television. Yeah. But it's pretty insane. And movies is a little bit more easy. It's a little bit more languid. You can do one scene in like 2 days. And you know, we make it with a little bit of... It's like a painting. Whereas TV is a factory. Out. Come on. Like that. And within that, to create art is so much fun. And that's what for me, that's what Quantico is. Quantico has become like... Within this chaos and madness of having to deliver an episode, let's find a great scene and let's be able to create a great character. Let's be able to make a point. And Quantico does that. Look at the diversity on this show. When was the last time you saw a hijabi FBI agent on a television, you know, gun-wielding cool chick?
Yeah.
You never see a girl like that.
Yeah.
Look at the kind of parts that all the women are playing on that show and the kind of things we are talking about. In one of the recent episodes... I talked about the fact that, you know, it's easy in America, and that was a big thing for American Indians, that in America it's easy to blame me because I'm brown, because I look like I do, but I didn't do it. And that was such a big statement. Nobody talks about those things, and I love the fact that the writers are running with the diversity that has been in this show and the casting of it. So it's a great time to make a lot of points with this show, along with entertainment, of course, because that is the main point of the show.
So in the end, it's been a great year for you. But you've also chosen a kind of unconventional personal path to be in your mid-30s, to not present that picture perfect, okay, I'm a mom, these are my kids, etc. Do you get irritated with the constant scrutiny on your personal life that's whispered about, alluded to, but never asked directly?
Listen, I'm extremely private about my personal life and I always will be. It's a stand I took.
But do women go through this shit more than men?
We're always asked, why aren't you married?
Yeah, exactly.
Getting married?
Exactly.
Are you getting married? I don't know, dude. No one worth my time's come along. But, and even if he has, it's none of your business.
I agree.
That's how I see
it.
When I have...
But I'm just asking about how that's been in terms of dealing with the annoying questions.
I laugh it off. Because no one really knows what's happening in my life except me. And I don't feel the need to share it. And I'm extremely fulfilled as a woman. Professionally, personally, in my life, and I'm very fortunate to be in the position I'm in. And as long as I have that, I hope someday I have kids. I want to have a cricket team of children. I love kids. I'm sorry, but I really do. I adore kids. And hopefully someday that'll happen, you know. You need the right partner to do it, not the right time to do it.
Yeah.
It has to be the kind of guy you want to create a family with. It's not, there is no like, you're 30, you need to have children by
absolutely.
Now. I mean, I know friends who've had kids much later in their lives, but they've lived a fulfilled life. As long as we are fulfilled as people, men or women, I think the pressure of this shouldn't exist. I understand also why, because, you know, I mean, kids at a later age and
all that
is difficult.
No, it's annoying. Women get these questions asked of them all the time, and it's bloody annoying.
We do get that.
And that is why I like you so much, because you do your own thing. Thank you, Priyanka. It's been a pleasure.
But when I get married, will you say I'm a stereotype? Don't say that, huh?
No, you chose your own terms, and that's what it's all about.
Exactly.
Let's have a big round of applause for Priyanka Chopra.
Thank you.